Her paper is titled Condom Deserts versus Condom Swamps, which sounds fascinating to me. Availability and accessibility of condoms and their relationship to sexually transmitted infections. Thanks.
Thank you. First, I wanted to thank you all for being here and thank the conference organizers for pulling a great session together. I guess I'm the condom microclimate component of this presentation. Who knew? Pretty cool, though. How do I do this? I should have known. Oh, there it is. Okay, so first, I just wanted to highlight that my I couldn't do this without my colleagues and my geospatial analyst as well as my data collector, Lauren Schulte. So we know about background. We know that there are geospatial disparities or geographic disparities in STIs and HIV. And I've gotten to the point where I think we have enough data that says individual level differences aren't really tremendous, and that it just because you live in a certain neighborhood isn't fair. So we know this. I wanted to understand, what was it that made different neighborhoods have higher rates of STIs? And I don't know that I have an answer, but I have a component of an answer, perhaps. So my first question was, maybe it's just resource-poor environments that just don't have, I mean, we know that certain neighborhoods, people who live in poorer neighborhoods have less access to health care or health insurance, for example. But one other piece might be, are there condom deserts? So I was real excited about testing my hypothesis of a condom desert. And just a reminder, if you haven't thought about where St. Louis is, St. Louis, Missouri is right there in the middle. I'm going to focus on St. Louis City. That's where we focus. It's a county in and of itself. And year after year, we're ranked really highly. It's one of our proud moments, I guess. I look at it as a great opportunity for public health work in St. Louis. And so you got to spin it that way. What we did was conduct a condom availability and accessibility audit. We called and identified 1,269 stores. You'll see that in a second. But basically, we identified potential condom selling businesses throughout the city of St. Louis. So if you look at the city itself, we basically did Google Earth and Yellow Pages and cross-checked it with Yellow Pages to make sure that we're finding all of these businesses. And previous research had suggested that these are the types of stores that carry condoms, and so we called all of them. Actually, my research assistant, delightful woman, called all of 1,269. She loved it. It was fine. I know, she's not here. It's okay. So we called these stores, and we asked them five questions. I'll show you the results of the five questions. And basically, we had 800 of the 1,269 stores, we had 850 participate, and of those, 260 sold condoms. So as part of this analysis, I wanted to make sure that we were identifying the store locations were valid and reliable, basically. And so we would check. I, along with my great research assistant, went to identify 100 stores and went and asked the five questions in person as well. So we had very high reliability between the calls and the in-person visits. So we asked the five questions were, do you sell condoms? What's the smallest pack of condoms that you sell, as well as do you sell packs of condoms that carry more than three packs of condoms? Do you carry like supersized packages of condoms, not condoms themselves? And then where in the store is the condom located? Is it behind the counter or out in the open? How many different types of condoms do you sell? And what's the average price per condom? And basically, we would ask per three pack, just because people were selling, most often they were selling three packs, so that's what we went with. If they were only selling single condoms, we went with that price, and that's why we ended up looking at the mean price of per condom. And what we found, I clumped together convenience stores and gas stations because I thought they were theoretically the most similar, and then the other stores, you saw the list previously of the other stores, and we combined those. And what we found was that more convenience stores or gas stations sold condoms, and the other stores, the non-convenience stores or gas stations, they were more likely to sell more than a three-pack. So that was important just to think about accessibility issues. We didn't have, surprisingly, because when I experienced it, most of the condoms were being sold behind the counter, but we didn't have a difference between the types of stores. And the price per condom was higher at convenience stores and gas stations. So I mapped them out. We looked at where are the businesses themselves. This is just identifying these are the businesses. And when we look at this figure, we see that there's condom availability. And this maps out a 500-meter buffer zone, so that's about a quarter mile. And that's typically what we say you could walk to if you were in need of a condom. You could get 56% of the population in St. Louis City can reach a condom if they needed to. Now, if all of the stores that who participated sold condoms, 79% of the city would have a condom available, okay? So that, I think, in and of itself is an important finding. Well, what I wanted to do was say, okay, so when we look at this, I say, oh, maybe condom deserts don't really exist. Maybe. But I wasn't 100% convinced. And then I said, what are the, is there a relationship between condom availability and accessibility to our current sexually transmitted infections? So I was able to procure a fantastic list of our STI rates of infection by census tract. So we had for 2011. And what we found, so this is just the gonorrhea and chlamydia cases for the city. And when we look at, we did a geospatial clustering analysis. And so that basically says, are there hot spots and cold spots? And it's really just the standard deviations beyond the mean that say there are many more cases here rather than there. And looking at I want to understand what's happening in the cold spots that's different than what's happening in the hot spots. So if for those of you who know St. Louis City, this isn't surprising. We know there are poor health outcomes in North St. Louis City, and this is just another sample of it. And it's just frustrating to me to say, okay, this is the same pattern. Now what are we going to do about it? So we overlaid, we found these hot spots, we identified them and by STI rates, so this is gonorrhea and chlamydia that I combined. And then we also looked at the condom availability and accessibility. So the dots are where they're sold behind the counter and the circles are where they're sold in front of the counter, out in the open. So when we looked at this index, we created this index to see, is there a difference? So we found that there is a difference, that by and large, in the hot spots or the high prevalence or incidence cases in these zones, in these regions, that higher rates are more often sold behind the counter. And this is not what we found when we just compared convenience stores and gas stations versus other stores. But this is also, and then you look at the cold spots, that more condoms are sold outside, out in the open. But there are fewer stores also, so that's something important to identify. So because there are fewer stores, I said, oh, condom deserts might not actually exist. And maybe that's just a fun term, and I have to ignore it. So it might be condom swamps. We have them available. They're just not very easily accessible. And so what we're in the process of finalizing is looking at our other accessibility issues like cost. So we didn't find that cost was higher in the higher incidence areas, but we actually found that they were lower when we looked at geospatially. So that's important to note. And so how do we make them more accessible? Anecdotally, with the conversations we had with people when we were asking about where do you keep your condoms, and they tell you, they're behind the counter because people are going to steal them. And so I wanted the data. I said, how do you know that people are going to steal them? And no one could answer that for me. So that might be the next step. But one of the things that I really want to make sure that we do is really understand the social networks and the social norms around condom use. And so when we think about next steps, we want to think about, does accessibility influence subjective norms or the social norms around using condoms? So when I go into a store and I can see a condom, or I can see lots of different kinds of condoms, do I say, oh, people like me who go here use condoms? I don't know that condoms are the solution. I'm probably pretty sure that I shouldn't say this. But it might influence rates of STIs, and it might influence rates of people using condoms if we're talking about seeing condoms everywhere we go, basically. I just want to acknowledge the State Health Department, who shared the great data with me, and my additional graduate students that helped map out these analyses. Thanks so much.